Today's Perek in Tanakh Shmuel, Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph. So the last thing that we learned in Perek Yud was that we had a very reluctant melech. And this was a melech whose reluctance, according to the Gemara, was actually pogat in his malchut. Because his understanding was that despite the fact that this was the second time, essentially, that he'd been appointed as a melech, the first time was the Meshicha, which was done beino levein atzmo, together with Shmuel. Even the Nar wasn't present for that Mashiach. The second time was when Shmuel called everybody in yesterday's parak together in the mitzvah, and they went ahead and they announced him, and they presented him, and they went to the Goral. He insisted that they ask the Urim V'Tumim, and the Urim V'Tumim confirmed that he was royal Malchut, and everything should be therefore now an actual Malchut that goes into effect. What happened was, is that he didn't want to be Melech. We saw that this went back all the way to two Parakim ago, where Shmuel needed to prove to him that he was a Melech, so that he gave him all of the signs. People would give him things, would look at him without even realizing it, would look at him as a Melech, and that this would happen around the Gvul Binyamin, which was the place at near Kever Rachel, which was the place where Yaakov Avinu himself had been given the Nevi'us, that he was supposed to be a Melech. All of these things were meant to encourage him until in the end he should actually be zocher to Nevi'ut itself, so that his darga should be himself, the nefach to ish acher. He becomes someone, a completely different person. So whatever you're missing, don't worry about it. And if people make fun of it and ask, Agam Sha'ul Banavim, that's their problem. That's not your problem. You are a melech. Fact is that after he's announced and after he's presented, we have the Anshei Belial who said, who the heck is this idiot? How's he going to help us? Mayoshienu said. At that point, Sha'ul was kimaharish, didn't respond. The Gemara says that the fatal flaw in Sha'ul's malchut was that silence. Because at the point where he was already a melech, and the din is melech shemachala kivodo, in kivodo machul, it meant that he was still viewing himself as an individual. An individual has a right to put up with anything. You can be mochel anything and should be mochel anything. That's the hane elavim ve'inamovim. Moabai could say tashemesh begvurato. It's only an advantage. But when it comes to a melech, it stands in opposition to the nature of malchut, not because you have to be assertive. It's much more profound than that. It's because you need not to be an individual. So that all of the things that we saw until now that were responses to Yisrael as a whole, that were very vicious. But we understand that in war or in malchut, no quarter is given. You fail, this is the failure. You lose. He shouldn't have granted quarter. He shouldn't have been macharish. So says the Gemara, one of the reasons that the Malchut Sha'ul was lo nitkayma was because of the fact that it was machal al kevodo. That, says the Gemara, directly connects to what happens in the next parak, which is today's parak, in which, and this is the Gemara's language, is beautiful, kol talmid chacham, not only a melech, she'eino nokem v'noter kinachash, eino talmid chacham. So you have to learn that there's certain things that are not yours, personal. You need to be a nachash. And therefore, the next opening is Vayal Nachash Hamoni. Comes along now Nachash, and he now takes the step that will be Keneged Sha'ul, and he is Vayichana Yavesh Gilad. He now puts a siege around Yavesh Gilad. Now Yavesh Gilad, we know, doesn't come from nowhere. Yavesh Gilad was the only place where in the end there were Nashim that were available. According to some, maybe Sha'ul was actually married to someone from Yavesh Gilad. If we don't go according to the Medrash, that he was one of those who was grabbed instead of being the grabber in the story of the Banos of Shiloh. But Yavesh Gilad were obviously very close to Binyamin. They were the only ones who wouldn't come out to fight Binyamin. So they were supportive, therefore, of Binyamin. They suffered for it. In the end, their daughters became the only basis of the future of Binyamin. 400 girls that remained from Yavesh Gilad were those that Binyamin was built up. And so the attack to essentially test Sha'ul came from a Nachash, who was the king of Ammon, but the word Nachash Ammoni is a very low-class way of referring to him. So we don't give him the Chashivut, Vayal Nachash Melech Ammoni. It's Nachash Ammoni. Comes and he besieges Yavesh Gilad. You'll remember that Yavesh Gilad is almost directly east of no, it's actually closer to Tirat Zvi.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, but in the Beit Shan Valley. So he goes now, and he sets a siege around Yavesh Gilad. Vayomru kol anshei Yavesh. Anshei Yavesh doesn't mean all the people. Ziknei Ha'ir. The Gedolim are anshei Ha'ir. So they send a message to him, to Nachash. El Nachash krot lanu brit v'na'avdeka. Look, you know, we know that we can't defeat you. How about if we just make a treaty, and we will be your servants? It's basically the same lotion that the Givaoni used against Yehoshua. Okay, we'll do whatever you want, but let us live. Make us a deal we can't refuse. Vayomer aleihem Nachash almoni. Okay. B'zot echrot lachem. I just want one thing. Binkor lachem kol ein yamin. We take out the eye, every right eye. V'samtiach herpa al kol Yisrael. I want this to be a sign of the way that we are mecharef, mevazeh, and we look down on Yisrael. So Chazal say, this is a remez, kol ayin yamin would be, it's not ayin yamin, it's ein yamin. The ein yamin is a reference to some specific ayin. When Madioma says, it's the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah that says, lo yavo amoni bekal Hashem, give me the Sefer Torah, we'll rip out that part, and then it's okay. But we're not going to get along with being less to Yisrael. So either Ein Yamin could mean the actual Sanhedrin, Me'enei Ha'ida. But it's also a reference to Binyamin in terms of the direct text, right? So, you know, I think you guys have some kind of weird belief that you have a king from that little place, Yamin. Let's prove what it's worth. So it was basically a open questioning of whether Yisrael has the power to fight.
Is it a ploy to bring out the king, the new king?
In essence, he's saying nobody's going to stop this, which is why they do the next thing. I mean, otherwise, the next pasuk is silly. You tell a guy that's got an army around your city, okay, but give us time to call in the reinforcements. But it's absolutely nuts, right? But and that's what they say. Vayomer elav ziknei Yavesh, heref lanu shivat yamin. Okay, fine, but you have to give us 7 days to see if we can defeat you. What, are they crazy?
And he agrees.
So clearly, the whole point over here was the challenge and the bizayon. You Jews have nothing. You know, I don't want you just to sign a treaty with me. I want the treaty to be a statement. You stink. You couldn't do anything. I'll give you anything. What would you like? You want 7 days? Fine, take 7 days. Bring me anything that you want. In the end, it'll just prove my point even better. So I'd like you to bring, go ahead, bring in the Marines. They ask him, we'll send people all over, we'll get the reinforcements. If you're right that this really is a cherpa, so then imein Moshiach otanu v'yatzonoi lecha, fine. So, you know, if no one will save us, we'll come out. Of course, they don't say we'll come out to fight, or we'll come out to agree. They just say we'll come out. So this, they actually handle this very well, because they give him a sense also of challenge. So v'yatzonu elecha, as here the meaning, we may fight you ourselves. Oh, this is rich, says Nachash. Beautiful. Sure, take your 7 days. Lamaisa, they didn't send Malachim all over. They came to Givat Shaul, because it was directly, they understood that it's an attack on Ein Yamin. So v'yavo ha-Malachim Givat Shaul. Shaul is not there. Why is Shaul not there? Further indication. In the same way that we saw the reluctant king going home yesterday and nobody even bothering to set up any type of official guard or anything like that, Shaul goes home and goes back to work. Yeah, he's a farmer and he's got his cows and he's busy out in the field and these people are coming. This is the new capital, you understand. What was previously Givah is now Givat Shaul. It's okay, so we've set up Brasilia at this point. And they expect to find the Melech in the castle, but, you know, he's out there in the fields. So everybody is miserable, and they're crying. And he tells the people that are there, Vayisu kol ha'amet kolam vayivku, it's all over. This is a disaster. I mean, you see how much they believe in Shaul. Vinei Shaul ba'acharei ha'bakar min ha'sadeh. Okay, the Shaul's coming in, taking off his jacket, you know, and going in for his shower. I said, what's going on? Vayomer Shaul, mala am ki yivku. Everybody seems quite upset around these parts. So, vayisapru lo et divrei anshei Yavesh. But titzlach ruach Elohim al Shaul b'sham'o, ki sham'o, et ha-devarim ha'ele, Now remember that Shmuel had empowered Shaul to do as he sees fit, which is something very rare. So that he says, don't worry, Elohim imcha, so that you do kasher timtza yadcha. That is Kohelet refers to. Kol asher timtza yadcha la'asot b'kochacha aseh. Whatever you can do, do with all of your strength. And so he reacts in that fashion. He becomes exceedingly angry. And this is as a result of a Ruach Elohim that fills him now, and that actually is part of his change, as we'll see in the next pasuk, is part of his change. He needed to give up personal life. And that's exactly what he does in the next piece. Vayikach tzemet bakar, which is like the thing that he's been involved in, yeah? He takes the tzemet and he chops it up. Very similar to Pelegish Begiva, which of course is where Anshei Yavesh Gilad come from in the first place. And they understand that the whole attack against Yavesh Gilad is really based on the fact that he, Nachash, is taking for granted who's going to come to save Yavesh Gilad. These were the guys that the Jews themselves came and attacked and killed. So like, heck, they're going to come now to save Yavesh Gilad from me. So he goes ahead, takes the Tzemet Bakar, chops it up into pieces. Vayishalach b'chol gvul Yisrael, he sends it all around, b'yada malakim lemor, Asher enenu yotze acharei Shaul, v'achar Shemuel, kol yaseh livkaro. Anybody who doesn't come out is finito. Notice that he says achar Shemuel, because he knows that not everybody is going to think that it's very much to come acharei Shaul. So he says, look, those of you who don't believe in me, fine. So go ahead and Shemuel will be there, because Shemuel already told him he's going to meet him 7 days later. So he felt that he had the rights of Shemuel there. This is going to be what's done to him.
To your own
bakar. Yeah, to your own animals.
Okay.
Not because the bakar. In other words, what happened is that there was a ruach min hashamayim. It came directly from Hashem. And vayetzuki ishachad. There was actually an immense response to this in which people began to feel something was like chitat Elohim. We talk about chitat Elohim is something that is not b'derech hateva. Or so this is the mitzvot points out. It wasn't the pachad of the bakar. They were pochad me'ashem. So that means that they had a sense of malchut for the first time. They were being told by a melech, and they felt the response of the melech. You know, my king calls, I come. This is in Tolkien. This is the story of the first presence of the king, right? The coming of the king, he speaks to someone who is almost dying, and the response in the person's mind is he hears the voice of the melech is there, no matter what, I'll come. And this is what happens over here. So vayetzuki ishechad, and they all come instantly. Vayifkedem bevazek. Now, there's a double meaning over here, as Chazal said. It's the name of a place, Bazek, and the name of the telephone company, which is, you know, not in the beginning, doesn't work out too well. And Chazal said, you know, Bazek means broken pottery. So, but they point out that later, it actually gets a lot better, as we'll see, because they got richer, and of course, so did Bezek. So he has everyone give him, either means broken pottery or means chatzatz, it means gravel. Everybody, that's why it's bazak, because you get when you take broken pottery and put in a fire, you get an electric type of flame. Yeah. So he used bazak, and that was counted. In other words, he was very careful not to be Mona Yisrael without having a thing to be Mona. And if, as I'll point out, this is one of the only ten places that we find in the entire Tanakh that there was a minion of Yisrael. Two of them were Bimei Shaul. One, of course, was done wrongly, Bimei David. But this, Bibazek, Vayu v'nei Yisrael shlosh meot elef, v'ish Yehuda shloshim elef. So between they counted the shards. So they were the Aseres HaShvatim together put up the 300,000, and Ish Yehuda was counted separately.
That's a formidable army.
Quite formidable, yeah. The Ish Yehuda shloshim alef. Vayomru
l'malachim habayim. Why were they counted separately?
Because we saw Yehuda Rishon, that there was a special relation, especially with the Yomim, remember. Vayomru l'malachim habayim, ko tomrun le'ish yavesh gilad. This is what you should say to them. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'm not saying there's hope. I'm saying tomorrow, as the sun is high, everything will be over. You will see that at the time, Kachom HaShemesh, of course, opens Bachlokas, Arba, the same thing we had by Avraham at Brit Milah. So it's Arba Shalbayom, Shalosh, that's the Machloket, or some say the question is at the time that there's no tzel at all, so we're either directly overhead. Vayavo HaMalachim, Vayagidu L'Anche Yavesh, Vayismach. They were Semech on it 100%. They gave it to him as a Besurah.
What is Malachim?
These were the messengers that Anche Yavesh Gilad had sent to Shaul. Vayomer Anche Yavesh, so they send a message to Amon, Nachash, well, it's over. Nobody is coming. It's hopeless. Machar neitzei alechem v'asitem lanu kekol atov be'inechem. Not this time.
Be'inechem.
The haramah is in the other direction. And, you know, you want to take out our eyes, you can do whatever is good in your eyes. So we give up. So this, of course, puts Amon to sleep, feeling that everything is okay. Tomorrow the fun starts. He gave us 7 days. Time is up. Fine. Meanwhile, Shaul moves overnight. We found this was a tactic that has been used very well. The attacks that come as surprise attacks, Avram Avinu did, went all night long. That was his attack in the Milchemes HaMelachim. Yoshua did that. Gideon did that. So it works pretty well. So he did the same thing, and they were lulled. I mean, they were first, as always, people lull themselves with their own sets of beliefs. So they were convinced that this would be a Cherpa Yisrael. That's all they could focus on. So they were eating, drinking, making merry, and going to sleep. Vayim mechorat, and so vayasrim Shaul adam shlosha roshim. So Shaul splits his army into three heads, so that they're attacked now from all directions. And just at the changing of the guard, bashmorat haboker, vayavo betoch habachane bashmorat haboker, vayakut amon ad chom hayom, surprises them, wipes them out. Vayian nisharim vayafutzu, v'lo nisharuvam shnayim yachad. There were no two Ammonim together. They scattered so totally. And that was complete and total defeat. Vayomera Amel Shmuel. So people felt, this guy's serious. This Shaul guy, maybe he's not such a non-king after all. Mi Omer Shaul Yimloch Aleinu. Where are they? The guys that said that he's a nobody. Tnu Anashim V'Nemitim. They should be killed. It's Morde Malchut. Vayomer Shaul Lo Yumat Ish Bayom Hazeh. This is not a day for killing. This is a day for celebration. It's amazing that Tolkien is killed. It's like Mamish. No, because he took it from Tanakh. It's a big book in Tanakh. But it's beautiful to see the way it comes across as something that people would say. Ki hayom asa Adonai tishu'ah b'Yisrael. For today is a day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done true Yeshua, and therefore we don't want to. Hayom Asa Hashem Tshua B'Yisrael is a day of Simcha. Obviously, to the previous people. So they wanted to be Metaken. So basically, what happened now is that they had accepted the Son Tassim Alech HaMelech. So until now, it was Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha. Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha. Shaul held lahalacha, was not mechayev him to be no game the noter. He did not see himself as a melech because he was not chosen by the Am. These words of Tnu Anashim Unimitem were the complete acceptance of him as a melech. At that point, there needed to be a new Mashiach, essentially. Because now he's a real melech. Until now, he was an imposed melech. So, Vayomer Shmuel al Am, Lechu v'nelcha ha-gilgal u'nechadesh shama melucha. Then let us go and renew the Malucha, because now it's on a completely different darga than it was before. And this should be done in Gilgal as a sign of, remember, we saw that Yerushat Ha'aretz is dependent in Minui Melech. There is Shalosh Mitzvot, Nitztavu Yisrael, to be Mamana Melech, to be Machrit Zar'o Shel Amalek, and to build a Beit HaMikdash. So now it's taken us 400 years. It's interesting, it's almost exactly 400 years since the Knesset HaAretz, right? Mamish, it's 2 years short of exactly four centuries, right? This is amazing, 3 years short. So it depends how we count the years that were Melech Shaul with Shmuel together. But Lamaisa, it was in 2448 that we was the Knesset HaAretz, and this is 2845, but it's basically the same period, 400 years later. It'll be another 80-some years, 82 years, until the kiyum of that final mitzvah of the Yibbet HaMikdash. But that, it's not 80 years, 40 years, because it's the 40 years in the Midbar also has to be included. It's the 30 years of the Malchus of David, and then with the 7 years, you know, so it works out to an additional 40 years after Shlomo becomes Melech. Okay, so we've already seen a little peek ahead that we had at the beginning of the three Prokem ago, where we talked about the way that the Aron was in Givat Yarim. We now understand the importance of that, because the Aron in Givat Yarim was as much a anomaly as a Yerusha Saaretz without a Melech was. In other words, all of Sefer Shoftim is an anomaly. It's a violation of the way things should be. A period of personality cults, of no malchus, of Bayamim Ahein, and it's the whole book, therefore, the whole Tkufah, was given the name Isha Yashar Ben Yaseh. That's the Sefer HaYashar. And that Sefer HaYashar is the opposite of the Beit HaMikdash as well. Because the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to Hakrava Bebona is Isha Yashar Ben Yaseh. Exactly the same Lashon. So that means that what we've been looking at was a Gilgal, the original Knesset Aretz, which was done in terms of a temporary Melech, who was Yoshua. And remarkably, in Divrei HaYamim, Yoshua is called Shaul. And he's called Shaul, say Chazal. What do you mean, Shaul? His name is Yoshua. He's called Shaul Shaita HaMalchut Shaula B'yado, which we've seen is really true about Shaul himself. So that element of Shaul was still Shaula B'yado, and was in fact Nish'al by Klal Yisrael. And that's the Rash Asitim Shesha'alta Lechem Melech. So all of that Shaul is still in place, nonetheless, because it's the beginning of the period of Malchus. It has to be redone in Gilgal, says Shmuel. This is the place where we were Meisir Cherpat Mitzrayim. This is the place where we came into Eretz Yisrael. This is the place where we should begin in a hakama of a true mikdash. Now we understand that Kiryat Yarim is meant to end with the events that Shmuel is going to complete, which is now David, who is able to take the Aron from Givat Yarim, Kiryat Yarim, and to bring it up into a true Beit HaMikdash. So all of those things are very profoundly interrelated with the life of Shmuel, with what he's meant to achieve, and therefore the Prokim are given all of their necessary background without our even being aware of it. So that suddenly things seem to click. So at this point, says Shmuel, okay, now we know what we're talking about. You have a real king that you're ready to be Meisim Alecha, and that's the Halacha. Shetei Emato Alecha is Som Tasim. So the moment that you said the Pachad Elokim fell on everybody, Pachad Hashem, and the moment that you said Unmitein, that's Som Tasim. Literally, La Halacha, that is Som Tasim. And therefore, we can now make the Malucha as it was meant to be. So let us be Mechadesh Et HaMalucha, Vayelchu Chol HaAm HaGilgal. Of course, the remez in the Mechadesh is that the Malchut that was once Shaul as Yoshua now becomes Mechudash in Shaul as Shaul. But this time, it's a direct transition to Malchut. Vayelchu Chol HaAm HaGilgal, Vayamlichu Sham, for the third time, Vayamlichu Sham Et Shaul. And by the way, the same thing happens to David. It's basically a three-time event, because there's Shmuel, which is private, there's Chevron, and then there's Kol Yisrael in Yerushalayim. So there's basically three different stages of Hamlacha to David as well. And we've seen that Shaul is, in a sense, a precursor to true Malchut. And that's why it's called Shaul. Vayizbechu sham zevachim shilamim lifnei Adonai, everybody was happy, but obviously there's one person who is not happy, and that is Shmuel. In other words, basically, all of this is happening as a celebration of the closing of Shmuel's life. That's what it boils down to. Because this event is the end of the period of the Shoftim. That day is the end of the Shoftim, which in essence means it's the end of Shmuel. So even though Lamaisa, the Gemara says there was a transitional period, where we view it as a malchut that was combined of Shmuel and Shaul together. It's a very sad day for Shmuel, and it's the day that basically he had cried about that whole night when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't take it personally, and it's not you. But the fact is, it was the end of him. And therefore, in tomorrow's parak, we'll see that he defines the moment for what he's going through in terms of speaking to Yisrael the way that Moshe spoke to Yisrael before he died, and gave over the way that he felt about the way that he had been treated all of those years. And so too Yehoshua had done before leaving Israel, also had presented the same thing. And therefore we expect at this moment to see a different side, and that will be tomorrow's parak. Well, it hasn't been completed yet. We only saw the beginning of it.
He tied himself
in a very intimate way to Shaul. I didn't find this in Chazal. The Chazal identified the problem later, where he refuses to acknowledge the fact that it's wrong to continue to love Shaul in this fashion. In other words, the mark, the sure mark of infatuation is, as J.D. Salinger pointed out, to love something more than God does. That's not love. That's just being overly romantic and maudlin. It's beautiful, beautiful insight. Because what that means is, by definition, is that it's avat chinam. Avat chinam is horrible, not good. Any chinam is horrible. So loving something for no reason. But it's completely wrong. Right, but they're exactly the same. Because what it means is prikat all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To do things the way, well, you know, this is my system of morality. So chinam is the opposite of taking reality. And that's always what's destroyed us, chinam.
That's what they ask for, right?
That's all chinam. That's all. No burdens. That's all. No mitzvot. Chinam, yeah. Chinam in a mitzvot. Exactly. That's what chinam always means. I don't want externally imposed. No responsibility. I'll do it my way. So therefore, so that was the sure sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Shmuel, if you love something more than I do, then fine. You can't take it, so then you die. That's why Shmuel died young. I just noted it, but I don't like to say something as and then it comes across as if it's a chazal. But the fact is, the only time in history that we see that the personal relationship of the Navi to the individual was so intense was the relationship of Shmuel and Shaul. So that the only time we find that the Navi will kiss is by the case of Shmuel and Shaul. Yeah, it's a connection that is so profound that it redefined Shmuel's life. And we saw yesterday that the tzniut of Shaul was in terms of not exposing that relationship, not just not exposing the melucha, because it says dvar melucha lo higidlo, which would have been enough, but instead it says lo higidlo asher amar lo Shmuel, which is obvious in the context of the conversation. So in other words, it was the same exact tzniut that was in Rachel, who didn't want to expose the level of intimacy that she had with Yaakov. It says Rashi, says shelo yidgalu, that they had simanim b'nehem. So that means that there was something very personal that Shmuel, and that's why maybe Chazal identified the transitional period of Shmuel and Shaul being together in the Malchut. And one couldn't entirely live without the other. And indeed, Shaul falls apart without Shmuel, which is what draws him back to Shmuel even after Shmuel's death. And Shmuel just can't get over the loss of Shaul. And he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't go on like that. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to him, okay, if you can't go on, so die. You know, that's what romance gets you. You know, so it's
like built.
I say yeah, die.
And it's means
together no one have it. Beautiful, that's right. Right, so it's one of these. So you think that's entirely okay, but it's also limited. You know where you see, is the Rambam, this incredible Rambam, in the letter of his response to the person who wrote him about translating the Mishneh Torah into Arabic. So the person prefaced the letter with a love letter to the Rambam. And the Rambam writes him back for no reason, because, I mean, it's clear that he's trying to define something. The Rambam gives him an entire response first to the love letter, before he talks to him about the issue that he raised. So he explains to him that love such as yours for me is actually love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the only way that you know me is through, right? So in other words, he wants to remove any of the personal element from the relationship, because otherwise there's a chisorin, particularly in Malchut, where a love becomes particularized, right? And it must be that it's mevusas on his chashash of the inyanim of Shmuel and Shaul.